Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And just a reminder, as always, please subscribe to the show, right? If you enjoy this content, subscribing is beneficial for you. That way you won't miss future episodes. And what's beneficial to me is if then you could coincide that by also hitting the like button, leaving a rating, hitting, you know, 5-star rating, leaving a short review, any of those good things, whatever podcast app you're using, or if you're watching or listening on YouTube, all of those platforms, just doing those simple things would go a long way. And I'd appreciate if you guys could do that. Today, we're going to be taking a look back at, and this is something that I started to do last year, and I enjoyed doing this. It's a look back to bold predictions I made before 2024 about what was going to happen this year. So we're doing a mid-year bold predictions look back to see how things are coming. How are my bold predictions that I made coming along? And, you know, I intentionally do try to make predictions that are bold and that have a really good chance of not working out. And you guys are about to find out that a lot of my bold predictions have not worked out. But that's okay, because there's value in formulating those bold predictions and using data and interpreting data. And then there's value in also just following up on it and seeing, okay, how have things changed from what it looked like they were going to be 6 or 7 months ago? So let's jump right in. When I did this episode, the first episode, the bold predictions back in, I guess it was either December or January that the episode actually released, I did 10 bold predictions. So we're going to go through each of these and just look at how they're doing. What does it look like? Does it look like my predictions are going to come to pass or not? By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll notice that that I look like I've been like working out in the sun or something. My hair is all greasy and everything. That is because I currently have no hot water in my house. That's getting remedied. It's kind of a long story, but yeah, I've not had a chance to take a shower today. I look all nasty and greasy because it's like 200 degrees outside, and there's that. But without further ado, let's jump right into the bold predictions that I made at the beginning of this year and how they're doing so far. Starting right with number one, I'm going to do these in the same order that I did them when I did this episode 6 months ago. Number one, my first bold prediction was that the Fed will begin cutting rates in the second quarter of 2024. Well, we are now in the third quarter of 2024 and no Fed rate cuts have happened. Now, it's been several years since we've really even had any debate on what the Fed will do. And I think that that's important, is that we're finally, this year, we've finally had debate over what the Fed is going to do. Now, we've talked about rates going up and down at different times in this podcast, so I want to be clear on something. Mortgage rates fluctuate, right? They've been fluctuating. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But they've been fluctuating within about a half a percent point throughout 2024. And that it has nothing to do with what the Fed is actually doing outside of it's the markets trying to preempt what the Fed is going to do. So as rates go up and down, that's markets responding to statements that the Fed makes. That's markets responding to data that's coming out. That's not actually the Fed doing it, although the Fed is aware that sometimes what they say, well, pretty much all the time, what they say impacts markets. And so they're aware of that. So sometimes they will intentionally try to steer the market in a certain way if they feel like rates, people are pricing in too heavily, that the Fed's going to drop rates too much, too fast. They might come out with a real hawkish statement saying, no, we're going to be, we're not going to lower rates anytime soon, and vice versa. So I just want to make sure that you understand that. The Fed has not touched their rates in quite some time. But most people think that they will. Now, depending on what you read, this is where the disagreements begin and where the debate that I referenced to a couple of minutes ago, this is where the debate is happening. Depending on who you read and where you read it, The Fed might be making their first rate cuts this month in July. I think that's highly unlikely. And I have a lot of good reasons for believing that that is absolutely not going to happen. I'm recording this on July the 9th. We'll find out later this week if they're going to cut rates this month. I'm almost positive it's not going to happen. I'd wager a lot of money that it's not going to happen this month. Some people think September is when it's going to happen. Other people think November is when it's going to happen. And we've teased out some of these in my podcast I did this past week. I talked a little bit about how the Fed is playing the politics game, and there's a good chance that perhaps they should cut rates in September, but will wait until November strictly because they don't want to be perceived as interfering in the elections. So that's a possibility. I've heard some economists and experts predict that they won't even drop rates until next year. I've heard some say that they won't make any rate cuts at all anytime soon. I even heard an analyst say that they think the Fed will increase rates this year before then cutting them by the end of the year with a net zero gain, basically, that we'll end up where we started by the end of 2024. Long story short, nobody knows what's happening. And the phrase that we've heard all year is higher for longer. That's the Fed trying to temper the market's expectation that rates are going to be dropped. And so long story short, I was wrong. This was a bold prediction that was inaccurate. The only question is, it's inaccurate by how much? I predicted the second quarter. At the time, that was actually quite a bold prediction. A lot of people thought it was going to be a first quarter cut or no cut. So I predicted a second quarter rate cut. That did not happen. It's looking currently like it's going to be either a third or a fourth quarter rate cut. That to me is the most likely scenario. If I had to put money on it, I would say November. That would be my, you know, if I was revising this bold prediction, I would say it would be a fourth quarter cut. And this has surprised everyone, right? The labor market being stronger than people expected, the stock market being stronger than people expected, just markets in general have weathered the storm a lot more resiliently than people and experts thought they would. And so here we are. The result of that is rates are exactly the same as they were 6 or 7 months ago, and my bold prediction number one was inaccurate. All right, bold prediction number two. We're not going to spend as much time on each of these. I said that there will be no recession in 2024 and that we will achieve a soft landing. Well, some people will debate, again, the definition of recession. Actually, this is a really big debate right now. Because the traditional metrics for measuring recessions kind of flew out the window after the pandemic. But long story short, nobody right now thinks that we're in a recession. Some people, if they're looking at certain models like the SAM, SAHM model, et cetera, might think that we're close to a recession. This is going to be debated. But me personally, I feel like this prediction is looking good at the moment. I feel like the likelihood of there being an obvious recession, like something, a recession that everyone agrees, okay, this is a recession, I think that's pretty unlikely for the remainder of this year. Now, by pretty unlikely, I would say probably 75%, maybe 70%. So there's still a decent chance. It's just not the majority opinion among most economists. It's not my opinion. I think we will achieve this quote-unquote soft landing, which is essentially inflation coming down without the economy going into recession. That's the simplest way of thinking about that. And so we'll see. We'll see how this plays out throughout the rest of this year. But at the moment, I feel pretty good about that prediction. So one for two so far. Or at least, again, what appears like it will end up being one for two. Number three, bold prediction number three. I said that mortgage rates will spend the entire year in the sixes. And that the average for the year will be in the high sixes when it's all said and done. Absolutely not. I was way off on this. I said, and again, this was based on Mortgage News Daily's average rate that they have for the year. It's according to Mortgage News Daily, the rates have basically been in the sevens all year. So that did not play out at all. We never saw those lower rates come through. We've been in the sevens pretty much all year. So I will take the L on that one and say that I'm one for three so far. Number four, inventory will remain below pre-pandemics for the entire year. Another one I've got to take the L on. we are already pretty much right at pre-pandemic levels. So I think, you know, at the end of the year, I might be able to make the argument that on average, we were below pre-pandemic levels. But the way I worded this, I said that it would be below pre-pandemic levels for the entire year. We're pretty much already at pre-pandemic levels. So that's where we are. Inventory has gone up. We've had a lot more sellers enter the market than buyers. And the result of that is inventory has gone up substantially. It's gone up by 25% this year. So I have to take another L on that one and say I am 1 for 4 so far projected. Number 5, pending sales for the first quarter will be down year on year and will increase probably slightly for the remaining 3 quarters. Well, I was at least partially wrong in this because pendings were actually up in the first quarter. That came as a bit of a surprise. Now, we don't yet have the data for June yet. And if you listen to my market stats episode that I do pretty much every month, we also won't yet have the May numbers, the accurate May numbers, until later this month. So there's really no way for me to say for sure what's going to happen in the second quarter of this year. It's hard to say, you know, whether it's up or down, but it looks like it's going to be close. It's going to be really, really close one way or the other. I think that there's a good chance that I end up being half right, half wrong. The half wrong being pending sales were not down year on year in the first quarter, but there's a good likelihood that we will see them increase perhaps slightly for the remaining 3 quarters. So I'm either 1 for 5 or 1.5 for 5 so far. Not great. Not great. But hey, I hold myself accountable, which is more than our politicians do. Maybe I should be a politician. I don't know. On to number 6. But before we do that, I want to talk to you guys about something. I want to talk to you guys about Piper Insurance Group, friend of the show and the official sponsor of Selling Greenville. Piper Insurance Group. My go-to for homeowners insurance. They handle home, auto, and umbrella insurance. They're an independent insurance agency, so that means that they're not just going to give you a quote from one company. They're not just with Travelers or just with Allstate or just with one company or another. They can quote with many different insurance companies and essentially give you the best rate that they can find. They can do, if you're wondering, you know, is this primary residences, is this investment properties, etc., they can do all the things. They can insure all the houses, flips, rentals, ground-up new construction, residential, commercial investment properties, all of those things they can help you with. Vacant properties, any of those things they can insure. And let me tell you, Steven with Piper Insurance Group, I've dealt with a lot of insurance agents that kind of play it fast and loose. He's very detailed. He makes sure that your policy is exactly what you need for the home that you're trying to insure. And I think that that's important. They're licensed in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. So even if you're dabbling a little bit outside the state of South Carolina, they can help you in the important neighboring states, neighboring South Carolina. So please contact Piper Insurance for a free quote today. Contact information is in the show notes, and they'd be happy to quote you on whatever property you have that needs homeowners insurance or auto or umbrella insurance. All right, bold prediction number 6. I said that days on the market wouldn't go above 60 days for the entire year in the greater Greenville area. This one, it's looking like I nailed it. This is the first one. We had to get through half of these before I finally found one that's like, okay, I'm pretty confident that this one's going to be accurate. Now, we got up to 57 days on market in February, so I was starting to be like, oh boy, I might even lose out on this one, but it's come down since then, and days on market, again, we don't have the June numbers yet, but the last May numbers that we had said it was sitting at 46 days. That seems pretty good right now. In a normal year, we would see days on market go into the 60s at some point, and by normal, I mean pre-pandemic. Wouldn't be uncommon for us to see it go into the 60s, but right now, we're not even in the 50s. We're in the 40s. I feel pretty good that that one's going to hold. Number 7. The number of single-family closings will rise slightly for 2024 versus 2023, between approximately 0 to 3%. This is in spite of the fact, this bold prediction was in spite of the fact that many experts expected there to be national declines. Now, so basically, I went against the national experts that saw national declines. I said that there was going to be an increase in single-family closings, just not a huge increase, 0 to 3%. And so where does this stand so far? Well, based on my numbers, again, I don't have the official Greater Greenville Association Realtors stats yet, but based on the numbers that I ran personally by looking in the multiple listing service, I came to the conclusion that year-to-date through the end of June, that closings were up for single-family homes were up 5.6% year-on-year. So that's way higher than, obviously, what the experts thought. That's way higher than even what I predicted. But we still have half a year left, and as we get closer to elections and all of that, and the second half of the year tends to slow down anyway, I think we're going to see a pretty big slowdown the second half of this year, is what I think. So I feel pretty good that this 0 to 3% number, I think, is very much in play. I think that we're going to see much slower months towards the end of the year into the fourth quarter and all of that. And I think that when it all balances out, I feel good that I will nail that one. So what are we at? We're at something like 3 out of 7. If I remember correctly, is what I'm at. Again, just projecting, because we don't know for sure, but I'm projecting that I'm going to be right on 3 out of these first 7 that we've discussed. Number 8, multifamily sales in Greenville MLS will exceed 100 sales for the year for the first time ever, at least as far back as I can go in the multiple listing service. And as of the end of June, there were 61 multifamily closings year to date. So that's looking really good, right? I mean, if that continues at that pace, which it likely won't, but if it were, that would put us at over 120 closings for the year. Now, I'm already saying that I think there will be a slowdown, but we only need to have 39 multifamily closings in the next 6 months in order for this prediction to hit. I feel good about that. So at the moment, it's looking like 4 for 8. I'm making a little bit of a comeback here. Number 9. Foreclosures and foreclosure sales for single family will increase slightly but remain well below pre-pandemic norms. And I went on to explain at the time that there's logic behind that. COVID borrowers they have more options for refinancing and getting out of delinquencies and all of that. Long story short, I've said multiple times that we've seen a little bit of an increase in foreclosures and short sales, but not enough to move the needle. This is both on the national level and on the local level. And so basically, I mean, I nailed this prediction, right? Because this year is the first time in Greenville that we've seen in years foreclosures and short sales. I've not seen any we might see one or two here or there, but I mean, we've seen actual, like, you know, a handful of them per month has been what has happened recently. And that's been definitely an increase over previous years, but still nothing, right? You can't make a living, you know. My broker, Matthew Thrift, he made a living at one time only selling as a realtor foreclosures. Nobody can do that. Not one person can do that in this market. I know house flippers that they made a living just flipping houses that were foreclosures. Nobody can do that in this market either. So foreclosures and short sales are not increasing dramatically, but they are increasing slightly. And we've seen this in the national data as well with delinquencies. So I'm saying at the moment that I am 5 for 9 on these predictions. Happy about that. Number 10, median prices will rise by 3 to 6% for the entire year, although we may see some negative month-on-month prints. Now, this one's going to be very interesting to track because the first 3 months of the year were exactly what we needed with prices for this prediction to happen. Basically, for the first 3 months of the year, January, February, March, we had year-on-year price increases in the 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5% range. And so it was basically right in between that 3 to 6%. But April and May both fell under, with April being a 2.4% year-on-year increase and May being flat, no increase, which we just discussed a few weeks ago. And we don't have the June numbers yet, But if I had to make a prediction, I don't think that June will come in above 3% either. I think that the June median price point year on year will end up being below a 3% increase. So this one is going to keep us on our toes, and it's a toss-up, right? Because the first 3 months, nailed it, and then the most recent 3 months, not so much. So this one's still in a state of flux at the moment. I think if I aggregated this all out, I think that I would not be in that 3-6% range. So I'm going to have to say that I don't have this one currently. But unlike a bunch of the other ones where, you know, with regard to the rate cuts and with regard to the mortgage rates being in the sixes and inventory being below pre-pandemic levels for the whole year, those are already shot, right? There's no way that I can get those before the end of the year. I've already lost those. This is one where I'm currently losing, but I can make a comeback. And I think that there is a decent chance that I do, but we'll have to see. I mean, probably out of all of these, this is the one that I feel the least confident about which direction it will go. I still feel like there's a good chance at the end of the year we're around 3%, 3-4% year-on-year increase or appreciation, if you want to use that word, even though I prefer not to use that word when we're talking about median prices. But for simplicity, you can just call it appreciation. Just say, you know, we might have 3-4% appreciation. But I could also see it being closer to 1-2% if we, you know, we might have some down months. I mean, there's a lot that could happen. Again, it's an election year, very unpredictable. These rates are higher than people expected for longer than people expected. So there's a lot of stuff happening that's just causing a lot of uncertainty. We will know in 6 months, because I'm not going to bring this back up again until the end of the year. And when the end of year comes around, we'll go back through this and then we'll see, did I get half of them right? Did I get slightly less than half of them right? Did I get maybe 6 or 6.5 out of 10 bold predictions right? I don't like any of those numbers, right? I want to get at least 8 or 9 of these right. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen this year. So I'm going to have to keep improving as a bold predictions person. Don't go out and make any bets on the basis of my bold predictions, okay? This is why I always have to remind you guys that I'm not offering any kind of financial or investment advice, because at the end of the day, we're not throwing darts at a dartboard, but we're interpreting data in different ways and then throwing the dart at the dartboard based on the data that we're interpreting. And sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. Generally, people that are right 6-7 times out of 10, they are very, very seasoned investors. And those that have no idea what they're doing, they're only going to be right, you know, they might make a few lucky guesses and get right 2 or 3 times out of 10. So we'll keep track. We'll see what's happening, you know, as we go through the year. If you guys are close listeners, you'll probably be able to reverse engineer how many of these bold predictions I'm getting right or wrong. But we won't be talking about this for another year. But for the time being, I'm about halfway there. Hopefully I'll get a few more of these right after it's all said and done. But thank you guys for listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. If you could just hit that subscribe, like, rate, review button, all of those things, that would be great. My contact information is in the show notes. If you need a realtor in the Greenville area or outside of the Greenville area, I can set you up with someone like that as well. And just a reminder, as always, Piper Insurance Group, their contact information is in the show notes. Please reach out to them for any of your insurance needs. Homeowners, auto, umbrella. We will talk again next time.